Blog Talk Radio.
Good day, students. Welcome to our lesson summary review for our course, Personal Evangelism. We're on session 7 this week, which is entitled Consider Your Approach. And this session will help the student to see lost people as human beings who are very much the same beneath their cultural exteriors, and be able to approach them anywhere in the world in ways that will encourage openness and trust in them. And as we always do, we want to take time for some personal preparation. We want to pray that the Holy Spirit will help us to identify ways in which to improve our approach to the lost. We also want to pray that we will learn to approach the lost more effectively. And always encourage your students to be faithful in your daily devotion time in prayer and Bible study, because this is how we grow in intimacy and closeness with Jesus. And so we should never strive to be so, we should always strive, that is, to be so united to Jesus that we can relate to anybody. And so this is will be the attitude that we should have as we study this lesson, and as we allow God to use us to reach people. So let's seek the face of God now in prayer. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify and honor your name. We thank you for your dominion, your power, and your majesty. I pray for each and every student and staff member of Grace Bible College and Seminary, every person who's listening to the sound of my voice around the world. May your presence be with them. May your anointing be upon them. May the Holy Spirit bring understanding and wisdom to each person. Give us guidance and direction as we apply these lessons to our life. And we thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Again, students, I welcome you to our lesson summary review. We're continuing with our study of the course, Personal Evangelism. And we're on session number 7 this week, which is entitled Consider Your Approach. Now, I like to stress that the key principle underlying this lesson is the need to be attentive to the persons to whom we are trying to relate and approach them in whatever way seems best for them. Our natural tendency often is to approach people in the way that is most comfortable for us. But when we shift our focus off ourselves and onto the other person, the right approach will often be very obvious. You or one of the other students may have a personal experience that you would like to share that illustrate this point. And you can feel free to share it with your classmates, or you can contact us at the school. We love to hear the different experiences that you are learning or that you have experienced in relation to this course. Now, we're going to go over the main heading. I pray that you have your study guide and your note-taking material. We're simply going to touch on the main headings for this lesson that you've studied. Hopefully, it'll be able to give you a little better depth of understanding of the material that you've studied. If you're taking notes, we're going to talk about how we should be natural. This is the first major heading, be natural. The second major heading of this lesson was do not condemn. Thirdly, show respect. And fourth, have concern. These are the four major headings of this particular lesson review that I hope to go over with you during this review. And of course, whenever we have exercise sheets and or visual aids, if you're studying independently, online, or by mail, you can contact us at the school email address or by phone or through the live chat line, and we'll be more than happy to get a copy of the visual aids as well as any exercise sheets that the lessons contain. So with that being said, let's begin with our first major heading, which is be natural. This first objective asks us to give an example of a positive, natural approach in sharing the good news. And I want to refer you to Paul's approach to the Athenians in Acts chapter 17, verses 22 to 23. If you haven't already reviewed that portion of scripture, go ahead and make note of that. Acts chapter 17, verses 22 to 23. And as you study that particular portion of scripture, I like to explain that a positive natural approach requires a humble attitude and respect for the other person, which are basic Christian characteristics. It also requires being attentive to surroundings and to things that already occupy the other person's thinking and experience. So we can get anyone's attention with this statement: I've noticed something about you, or by saying something that shows you have noticed, as Paul did in Athens. I also like to explain that a natural positive approach tends to flow automatically when we really care about individual persons and try to relate to them as persons rather than speaking to them as customers or lower class citizens who need to allow us to educate them. So it is helpful for our students to be reminded of Jesus' example, how differently he dealt with different individuals, because each person and each situation was different. So let's review some of the examples in the study guide of the way the writer's blind uncle preached to village people. If you have your study guide, you remember you studied in your lesson this example that it gave us about this. And I want you to think about that example and some of the witnessing situations that demonstrate the principle of being natural and being positive. We don't want to be artificial or fake or pretentious, because generally speaking, most people can see through that. But when you take a genuine concern for a person and you take an interest in them, in most cases you will grab their attention. So that's the first major heading that the session 7 talked about, was be natural. The second major heading that our course talked about is do not condemn. So the second objective asks us to give two examples from the Bible of God's attitude towards sinful men and commit to having the same attitude. In this section, I want to note that loving the person has been referred to several times in this course as a crucial attitude for the personal evangelist to have. In fact, we've been encouraging you to read through 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and memorize those verses of scripture. So we want to make constant reference to love, which is one of the fruit of the Spirit, that we always make sure that we have love as an attitude. So this means that while we hate sin and its destruction, we do not condemn the person who commits the sin. So our attitude should be no different than God's, especially since we ourselves are saved only because God did not condemn us. We are truly beggars telling other beggars where to find bread. That is one of the ways that you can look at your task of personal evangelism. It is also helpful, students, to stress that we must give the message of hope to those whose sins have already condemned them. Most people already feel guilty or ashamed or in bondage because of their attitudes, actions, and or behaviors. So we want to give a message of hope to people. And this is what people need when they feel condemned. They already know they are sinners because their conscience accused them. You can see a reference for this in Romans chapter 2, verse 15. And also the Holy Spirit convicts them of their sin, as is referenced in John chapter 16, verse 8. So we should approach them with tears to declare God's mercy extended to them, because God loves them and wants to deliver them out of condemnation into right standing with himself. We students are to be sent to bring hope to those who are already condemned, already feel condemned, not to condemn them, but to let them know that God wants to deliver. It is also something to make note of that we may have strong reactions to certain kinds of sins that cause us to condemn persons who commit them. For example, some people have a very strong reaction to homosexuality, perhaps to child abuse, rape, murder. On the other hand, we forgive and accept persons who commit other kinds of sins that are equally as bad in God's sight. We can see a reference for this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 19, where we see the religious leaders were quick to point out some obvious sins in others, but they were not so quick to recognize less obvious sins in themselves. So I want you to identify the kinds of sins perhaps that invoke condemnation or forgiveness in them. Think about some of the things that really may even be something that you may be feeling condemned about, and realize that just as Christ wants to deliver others, he also wants to deliver us. So, and we're, if you have any specific issues that you're dealing with, feel free to contact us and we can pray with you. We want to stand with you for your deliverance, as well as for you allowing God to use you to minister hope to others. So the second major heading is do not condemn. And we're studying session 7 of the course, Personal Evangelism, which is asking us to consider our approach. So the first thing we learned is to be natural. The second thing we learned is do not condemn. The third major heading of this lesson is show respect. And this third objective asks us to give an example of how a respectful attitude can bring results in personal evangelism. And in this section, it is helpful to note that respect is included in the approaches we have already discussed as well. Now, showing respect does not automatically mean being silent. Oftentimes, it calls for just the opposite. And this is illustrated by the example that was given in your study guide. You'll see that respect is shown mostly by the manner in which we approach or speak to someone. It begins in the heart with our views of that person. And this is why it's so important that we respect people by loving them, recognizing that they are just as worthy and deserving as we are of the salvation, the deliverance that Jesus Christ offers. Now, in the next part of our lesson review, we have a visual aid that talks about barriers. And I think we may have referred to this in one of the previous lessons, but we're going to look at this visual aid, and we'll try to post this on the Facebook page so you can get a reference for it, or you can contact us for it. So if you have a blank sheet of paper, you can write down at the top of your paper barriers. And this is also one that we used from lesson number 6 that went over some of the barriers to reaching others for Christ. And so we want to remind you of that again. And I want you to be able to identify any areas that you need to work on. Some of the barriers, it asks us, when you see the following kinds of persons, how much do you want to win them for Jesus? So think about the persons that you meet. When you come across a person, think about how bad do you want to win them to Jesus, realizing that every person is deserving, just as deserving and loving and worthy of God's love as you are. So we understand that we need to respect every person because they are precious to God and made in His image. Our Christian character shows strongest when we show respect toward those society values may classify as not deserving respect. So I want you to identify some of those kinds of people in your communities. And I'd like to ask you, are any of them being reached out to? We're talking about the groups who are disenfranchised, that may be considered outcasts. And we want to pray for them, that if not you personally, that God would send someone that would minister hope to them. So the third section talked with us about showing respect as one of the ways that we consider our approach. Now let's take a look at our fourth and final major heading that this lesson talked about, which is have concern. And this fourth objective asks us to explain why we need to show concern for people. And I want to refer you to Jesus' command where he says, love your neighbor as yourself. So knowing that we should love the sinner does not automatically get us started loving him. So let's say that again. Just because we are commanded to love a person doesn't mean that we actually love them. You see, we can go year after year without seeing any change in ourselves, even though we know that we need change. But, students, we must know how to change and then take steps to change. We must allow God's word to abide in us as we abide in him. So let me ask you this question. How are we able to love people we don't know or people who hate us? Well, the answer that your study guide alluded to, and you'll see an example in some scripture passages, that we must begin to pray that God would impact their hearts and impact our hearts. You can see an example of this in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And so when we look at these portions of scripture, students, we realize that God's love is already in us by the Holy Spirit. And as we pray, we must willingly accept from the Spirit that love for others placed in our own heart, and then willfully begin to show it to the lost around us, depending strongly on the Holy Spirit for his help. So let's take a look at an exercise sheet that will help us to illustrate this point even better. We see it's very important that we have concern, that we show respect, that we be natural, that we do not condemn. So let's take a deeper look at this current section that we're studying about having concern and look at the exercise sheet number 7. And again, we'll try to post these on the Facebook page, and you can contact us to get a copy of it. So here are some of the questions that our exercise sheet talked about. You might ask, why should we love our neighbor as ourselves? Why should we love people we don't know or people who hate us? Well, the following scripture passages on this exercise sheet will give us insight into why this is necessary. So it asks us to fill in the blank with the answers that we glean from the scripture references that we cite. For example, the first question is, if you really love God, you will blank. And there's a blank space there for us to give a response. In this case, the reference is Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, Matthew chapter 22, verse 39, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 8, as well as verse 21. Again, you fill in the blank. If you really love God, you will blank. Here's another one. If you don't love your brother, you're not loving blank. You see the reference for 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 and verse 20. It continues. You are blocking God's love or forgiveness for blank. Matthew chapter 6, verse 15, as well as Matthew 18, 35. So let's fill in some of these blanks. The first one, if you really love God, you will love people. If you don't love your brother, you're not loving God. And you're blocking God's love, forgiveness for your brother, your neighbor, and your enemy as you do this. Let's take a look at another one. Love for people is the result of true love for God. So as we obey God's command to love your, and you fill in the blank, you're loving God and you're loving your blank. So we see that if you realize that love for people is the result of true love for God, we know that as we obey God's command to love our brother, love our neighbor, and to love our enemies, just as Christ commanded us in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 48. So these are things that we all need to make sure that we stress as we understand our concern for others. Why is it important to have concern for others, even those that we do not know, even for those who hate us or those who may be perceived as our enemies? One more example is that we imitate God's example when we see that Jesus says that as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And as a true child of God, you must love your enemies because your heavenly Father loved his enemies. So we definitely see in this example, this exercise sheet, the reason of why we should love our neighbor as ourselves and why we should love people we don't know or even people who hate us. There's one more example I want to give you from this exercise sheet. The Spirit provides the love that God desires from you. That is, the Holy Spirit already abides in us, all of us who have accepted Christ Jesus. We have received His Spirit, and one of the fruit of the Spirit is love, the agape love of God. And so since that God has provided the love that He desires from us, how does your relationship with God make it possible for you to truly love people? And that is by being born of God and by knowing God, who is love. For Scripture says that he who loveth not knoweth not God. We can see reference for this from 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, 1 John chapter 4, verse 12 to 13, as well as verse 16. Another statement is, God's love comes to you by blank. God's love comes to us, as we just alluded to, by the Holy Spirit. We see this example in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Another question or statement. God's love comes from us to others by the Spirit of, or as a result of, the blank within us. And that is, as a result of the Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit abiding in us. You see a reference for this in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23. And one final statement we have in this exercise sheet is, we can be sure it is the Spirit working through us when we are blank. That is, when we are loving. When we are loving God and when we are obeying His commands. So we can be sure it is the Spirit of God working through us when we are loving God and are obeying His commands. So we see this final reference in 1 John chapter 5 verses 22, 1 John chapter 5 verses 2 through 4. So this is some of the statements that were mentioned on our exercise sheet about why we should love our neighbor as ourselves, and why we should love people we don't know, or even people who hate us. So I pray that that really helped you to understand that fourth major heading about have concern for others. So let's go ahead and recap what we've talked about in this particular lesson review. I want you to think about some examples of witnessing situations where you may have approached an unbeliever in a way that was comfortable for them, but was ineffective for the person that you were trying to reach. Again, think about a witnessing situation where you approached an unbeliever in a way that was comfortable for you, but was ineffective in building a bridge with the unbeliever. And as you think about that situation, and looking back, what observations about the unbeliever might have given you insight into how to approach that person in a more appropriate way? One thing about life is that we learn as we go. We all make mistakes and do not get things right the first time. But you can look back at those situations or a particular situation and now think about what you might do which may be more effective and appropriate in the next situation that may present itself. And now again, I want to get a blank sheet of paper as we conclude this lesson. Write down the names of four people that you have been praying for to be saved. And I want you to continue to see them through the eyes of the Lord of the harvest. I want you to feel for them with His heart. Thirdly, I want you to be open, to be an open channel for His releasing His love to them through you. And fourthly, I want you to believe that the Holy Spirit will bring them to Christ. Hallelujah. So if you do those four things about the four persons that you're praying for to be saved, I want you to also write a brief plan for approaching each of those persons with the good news. I want you to pray about the plans and carry out those that God confirms are His plans by the peace that He gives you. You can see a reference for this in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 15. And the final thing I want to do before we conclude this lesson is I want to instruct you to continue to love the lost after they are found. There is much natural adventure and satisfaction in getting people saved, but oftentimes we see that that's when the real work begins, in keeping them saved and growing. And this is the area of discipleship that we want to stress with you. We evangelize them, and then we want to disciple them. So I want you to make note of this quote or write this down on your blank sheet of paper. Write down this statement. The ways of approaching someone that are discussed in this lesson flow naturally when the witness sees lost people as persons valued highly by God, bearing His own image, and when we feel God-given compassion for them. So we want to keep this statement in mind about the ways that we approach people, that it should flow naturally when we see lost people as valued highly by God, that they are bearing God's own image, and when we feel God-given compassion for them. So I appreciate and thank God for the opportunity that we have to come to share this lesson summary with you. We've been going over session number 7 of the course, Personal Evangelism, which is Consider Your Approach. I pray that this lesson summary will help each and every one of you as you go about your studies. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to contact us. And in the meantime, God bless you and good day.